parsetoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily via the internet address www.parstoday.com/en. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Intelsat 902, and Eutelsat satellite, as well as via internet. You can also listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for more details. And now we enlighten you with verses 97 to 99 of chapter Nisan from the Holy Quran, recited by Hashim Rouhani.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Innal ladhina توفاهم الملائكة ظالمي أنفسهم قالوا فيما كنتم قالوا كنا مستضعفين تضعفين في الأرض قالوا ألم تكن أرض الله واسعة فتهاجروا فيها فأولئك مأواهم جهنم وساءت مصيرا إلا المستضعفين من الرجال والنساء والولدان فَأُولَٰئِكَ عَسَى اللَّهُ أَن يَعْفُوَ عَنْهُمْ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَفُوًّا غَفُورًا صَدَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ.
In the name of God, the Compassionate, the Merciful. Surely as for those whom angels cause to die while they are unjust to their souls, they shall say, "In what state were you?" They shall say, "We were weak in the earth." They shall say, "Was not Allah's earth spacious, so that you should have migrated therein?" So these it is whose abode is hell, and it is an evil resort. Except the weak from among the men and the children, who have not in their power the means, nor can they find a way to escape. So these, it may be, Allah will pardon them, and Allah is pardoning, forgiving.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Headlines: an ambush blamed on the Daesh terror group leaves more than 50 civilians dead in central Syria. The White House says the contact between U.S. and Chinese militaries remains shut down as a senior American military official reportedly visits Taiwan. And six people lose their lives in a new shooting incident in the U.S., this time in a small town in the state of Mississippi. Welcome. Thank you for joining us. My name is Gisoum Shahmadi, and these are our top stories this hour. At least 53 people are killed in an ambush in central Syria, which media are blaming on Daesh terrorists. A Syrian health official says 46 civilians are among the dead. The victims had gunshot wounds to their heads. Other details are sketchy, and there is no claim of responsibility for the attack in the desert east of Homs. But Daesh terror group has in the past killed or kidnapped many people in central, northeastern, and eastern areas of Syria. The latest such incident was on Saturday when 16 people were reportedly killed by the terrorists. Remnants of Daesh are still active in parts of Syria after their defeat in 2018. The UN estimates the group maintains up to 10,000 terrorists in the country and neighboring Iraq. Our correspondent, Muhammad Ali, is joining us from Damascus. Muhammad Ali, if you could please give us more updates on this tragic incident. Once again, we're hearing such disturbing news from Syria.
Yes, according to Syrian state media, at least 53 people have been killed by Daesh terrorists in central Syria, particularly in close to Al-Sikhne town, which is southeast of Homs city. What we know is that according to the head of the Palmyra National Hospital, the 53 bodies arrived in that hospital, and he said, head of that hospital, that they were shot dead in the head. There were also five injuries that arrived to the same hospital. According to one of those injured as a result of this Daesh attack, Daesh terrorists also burned the vehicles and cars of the citizens who were actually over there in that part of Syria collecting desert truffles over there when the attack happened. It's important to point out that there are still sleeper cells of Daesh in Syria's desert, in Syria's central desert and the eastern parts of the country. And it's very important to say that perhaps all Syrians now, if you ask them on the streets, know that the reason why those terrorists still exist over there in Syria is because of the U.S. support to terrorist groups in that part of the country. We all know that the U.S. Occupation forces in eastern Syria, in a 10th, actually, illegal base, continue to support terrorist groups, continue to arm them, continue to train them, and continue to block the Syrian army from advancing in that area due to their illegal occupation. Thus, they are directly protecting those terrorists. And we all know how many times Russia pointed out to this fact that the U.S. continues on the ground in Syria to support Daesh directly. We have so many examples of that. We also remember when the Syrian army used to advance in that area during the years of war, for example, in Al-Tarde Mountain. Whenever there was army troops from the Syrian army side advancing in that area against Daesh, we used to see a U.S.-led coalition airstrike on Syrian army troops there in order to give the upper hand for the Daesh terrorists. So it's not a secret anymore. And the reason why those terrorists continue to exist is because of the illegal occupation of U.S. in Syria.
Thank you very much, our correspondent Mohammed Ali, with the latest from Damascus. Meanwhile, devastation, destruction, and desperation is the picture in quake hit to regions of Turkey and Syria, but news from miraculous survival under the rubble of collapsed buildings can relieve some of the pain and grief. A teenage boy and two men were found alive in the Turkish province of Hatay after being trapped under the debris for more than 11 days. While such rescues are becoming increasingly rare, operations to find possible survivors are still underway in the impacted regions. Freezing weather, however, has frustrated the rescue efforts. The combined death toll from the 7.8 magnitude earthquake that jolted Turkey and Syria on February 6th has now topped 43,000. The natural disaster has also injured and displaced thousands of other people in the two neighboring countries. Moving on, the U.S. says military channels with China are closed after a recent balloon episode elevated the tensions between the two countries to new highs. A spokesman for the White House National Security Council says, however, that diplomatic lines of communication remain open. Earlier this month, the U.S. shot down what it called a Chinese spying balloon that intruded into its airspace. Beijing slammed the move as an overreaction, saying it was a weather monitoring balloon that was blown off course. On Friday, the U.S. said it had collected sensors and other debris from the balloon, and investigators were analyzing them. Even before the balloon incident, Beijing and Washington were at odds over a host of issues, including Taiwan, Hong Kong, and trade. A senior U.S. military official reportedly visits Taiwan amid tensions with China over the island. According to media reports, U.S. Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense Michael Chase is now in Taiwan, but this is yet to be confirmed by Taiwan's Defense Ministry and the Pentagon. Chase is the most senior U.S. official to visit the self-ruled island since 2019. Separately, a U.S. bipartisan delegation is heading there this weekend to bolster ties with Taiwan's semiconductor industry. In response, China has urged the U.S. to stop meddling in the dispute with Taiwan. Beijing considers the island part of its own territory and has repeatedly warned the U.S. against ties with the territory. In Peru, Congress has passed a constitutional complaint against former President Pedro Castillo to charge him for corruption. The approval of the complaint gives green light to the country's attorney general to formally indict Castillo. The Congress also backed complaints against two former ministers who served in the former government. Castillo was ousted and detained in December after attempting to dissolve Congress to escape impeachment. Since then, Peru has been the scene of violent protests, which have left dozens of demonstrators dead. The protesters are calling for early elections and resignation of the incumbent president, Dina Boluarte. Another shooting in the United States, this time in Mississippi. A gunman goes on rampage, killing six people in different locations before being arrested. The carnage took place in a small rural town south of Memphis. First, the gunman went to a store and shot a man before going to two homes and killing three other people. Officers found the other victims in another location. The shooter was arrested after a car chase. Authorities believe that the suspect acted alone. The motive remains unknown. The U.S. has been witnessing major escalation in gun violence during the past months. More than 600 mass shootings were recorded across the country during 2022. That is while Congress is still reluctant to pass strict gun control regulations. The cost of a living crisis in Europe has triggered fresh protests and strikes across the continent. In Spain, thousands of supporters of public health have protested in Madrid over what they call the destruction of public health system by the conservative regional government. In Portugal, thousands of teachers have also held rallies in the capital, Lisbon, demanding higher pay and better working conditions. It was the third such protest in less than a month in the European country.
Protesters have returned to major cities across Europe to voice their anger at the rising cost of living across the continent. In Spain, people held a massive rally in Madrid against what they call the regional government's dismantling of the public health care system. Officials say 250,000 people turned out, but organizers put the number as high as a million. That is the largest such demonstration in recent months. Protesters accuse the regional government of prioritizing private health. They say the public health service is suffering from staff and equipment shortages because of the government's policies. Some primary care doctors and healthcare workers have also been holding regular strikes over better working conditions and pay.
The condition of the public health system is deteriorating. The number of doctors have been decreasing with medical conditions getting worse. Many medical centers have been closed.
The region's right-wing leader has repeatedly claimed that the protesters are motivated by political interests. And in the Portuguese city of Lisbon, tens of thousands of teachers have taken to the streets amid public discontent over the cost of living crisis. It is the third time in less than a month that teachers and school workers have held mass demonstrations. Teachers want a pay rise and are also calling on the government to speed up career progression. Officials say negotiations with teachers' unions are ongoing and express hope that an agreement would be reached soon. Portugal is one of Western Europe's poorest countries, which is seeing decades-high inflation and is grappling with the cost of living crisis.
We are here to claim our rights, which were taken away from us a long time ago. Our careers have been frozen for a long time, and that can't be. We have the right to have a more dignified career. We can't work like this. It just can't be.
In Germany, the travel sector has witnessed widespread chaos after a major trade union called on airport workers to go on strike over pay. And in France, workers have staged fresh protests and walkouts against the government's pension reform plans, which would raise the retirement age from 62 to 64.
Protests in Spain and Portugal come as passengers across Germany have witnessed widespread travel chaos after a major trade union called on airport workers to go on a strike over a pay dispute. Verdi Trade Union called for the industrial action after it said collective bargaining efforts to settle wage disputes with the government failed. Since last year, European airlines have been facing labor strife amid staff shortages and soaring inflation, which have prompted employees to demand higher wages. German officials say despite a recent improvement, the economy is expected to suffer another mild decline in early 2023, as energy prices for households are still increasing. German consumer prices, harmonized to compare with other European Union countries, peaked at 11.6% in October, driven by the surge in energy prices and rising input costs. In the UK, more than 70% of UK households fear that they will be severely hit by the cost of living crisis in the first part of 2023. Up from 54% at the end of last year.
Nobody actually wants to be on strike. We want to do our jobs. We want to look after the students here. This is what our passion is. But we've been driven into a situation where we can't even pay our bills now. So basically, we've been forced to do this. Nobody works in education to be rich, but we'd like to have a decent standard of life. And I think we're losing a lot of staff as well. A lot of people are leaving because of the pay.
Meanwhile, in France, police clashed with people protesting the government's pension reform bill. Hundreds of thousands of people attended the rally, which was held in a number of other cities across France, seeking to keep up pressure on the government over the reform plan, which aims to raise the retirement age from 62 to 64. President Emmanuel Macron says the reform is vital to ensuring the viability of the pension system.
We would like the age of retirement to remain the same. 62 is already enough for working people like us. We work in kindergarten in the way, and we don't see ourselves working with children at 64. It's already quite hard currently, and going farther isn't possible.
This is a democracy, and people only have a month to debate the pension reform. The government has kept its project hidden for months, despite the fact that it was ready, and they only yield on details when people take to the streets. Well, we will keep going.
The economic crises have been compounded by the protracted war in Ukraine. The war has pushed up prices, including the price of commodities like energy products. Furthermore, European nations have pledged billions of dollars worth of military aid to Ukraine. And that has sapped the capacities of European major economies to spend money on social welfare programs.
Russia wants the UN Security Council to ask for an independent inquiry into Nord Stream gas pipeline explosions. Russia's representative to the UN has already submitted a draft resolution to the 15-member council. It asks the UN chief to establish an international investigation into the blasts and identify who is to blame. The U.S. and NATO has called the September incident an act of sabotage. Moscow has blamed the West, but neither side has provided evidence. But an American investigative journalist claimed last week that U.S. Navy divers had destroyed the pipelines with explosives. He said that the President, Joe Biden, personally issued the orders, and allegation the White House has dismissed. Militants have launched an attack on a police station in Pakistan's southern city of Karachi, killing at least four people, including two policemen. Gunfire and explosions broke out when the militants stormed the station that houses offices of the city's most senior police officers. The gun battle came to an end with all three attackers killed. The attack took place along the route to a stadium where the country's largest cricket tournament is being held. Pakistan's Tehrik-e-Taliban claimed responsibility for the attack. The militant group has launched a series of attacks targeting police in Pakistan as part of its campaign against the government in Islamabad. And hundreds of Rohingya refugees continue to languish in detention centers across India. Munawar Zaman reports that their families are urging authorities to release them on humanitarian grounds.
This Rohingya refugee camp on the outskirts of New Delhi is no more than an open prison for the members of the community who face constant threats and intimidation from law enforcement agencies. They say all their activities are being monitored and reported to the local police station on a daily basis. A member of the community is given that task, but that is not the only trouble. This woman says her son has been held in a detention center for months despite having a UN refugee card. With eyes full of tears and a numb voice, she revealed her ordeal.
My son was picked up by police along with his wife from outside our shanty 4 months ago. He did not commit any crime. He has been in a detention center for a long time now. I'm worried for him.
In recent weeks, the Delhi High Court ordered a joint inspection of the Rohingya detention center in New Delhi by officials of concerned agencies over the alleged lack of basic amenities. The court was hearing a plea of a female refugee who is facing bad health conditions due to the lack of basic facilities in the detention center. Most of the refugees I spoke with feared that their identity would be disclosed given the high risk of detention. Scores have also gone into hiding at undisclosed locations across India. They have a horrific tales of separation from their families amid a persistent deportation campaign and an intensified crackdown against the community. Munawar Zaman in the outskirts of New Delhi.
That brings us to the end of this edition of World News.
When the whole world is silent towards oppression, even one voice becomes powerful. IRIB English Radio, the voice of the voiceless. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en.
Saturdays. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Bismillah, words that seekers of sanctuary repeatedly recite, words that the very cautious in search of protection often repeat. I seek refuge with Allah, the Exalted above all, from the oppression of the unjust, from the deceitful malice the envious use to lay snares and traps, from the injustice and outrage of the tyrants, and I sing his praise. Do better and go beyond other praisers. O Allah, thou art one, has no partner, and is the Lord and Master without being made. There is no discrepancy or nonsense in thy commands, nor there is lawlessness in thy kingdom. I beseech thee to send blessings on Muhammad, thy servant, thy messenger. To let me ask thee for enlightenment and inspiration, so as to be thankful for thy bounties, which alone get thy approval ultimately. To help me to obey thee and instinctively worship thee, and make me deserve thy rewards on account of thy very patronage. And have mercy on me and prevent me from breaking in the bounds of thy prohibitions, as far as I am kept alive, and show the way unto that which is useful and advantageous till I go on survive. To let me take to heart the meanings of thy book, and by its reading, throw down the heavy burden of sins, and receive welfare and salvation as a gift. Let not my family and friends who love me leave me alone. Let thy favors reach me in abundance during the remainder of my life, exactly as they used to be made available for me in full in the days gone by. Oh, the most merciful.
In the limelight.
In the U.S., three lawyers for Donald Trump recently appeared before a federal grand jury as part of the special counsel investigation into his possible retention of national security materials at his Mar-a-Lago resort in Florida. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The The New York Post has covered this story and tells us more. Three of former President Donald Trump's attorneys have recently appeared before a federal grand jury investigating his mishandling of classified documents, and investigators want to bring in at least one of the lawyers back for further questioning, according to a report. Trump lawyer Alina Haber reportedly appeared before the Washington, D.C.-based grand jury last month, according to CNN. Alina Haber is the third member of Trump's legal team, joining Evan Corcoran and Christina Bobb, that has testified before the panel investigating the 76-year-old former commander-in-chief for obstruction and criminal violations of the Presidential Records Act, the news outlet reported. Alina Haber has been Donald Trump's lead attorney in New York Attorney General Letitia James's civil case against the former president and his family for allegedly financial fraud. CNN reported that Alina Haber personally searched Donald Trump properties for Trump Organization documents that Letitia James issued a subpoena for, but didn't find any. Her search included looking through Trump's residence and private office at his Mar-a-Lago club in Palm Beach, Florida, that was raided by the FBI in August of last year. Evan Corcoran and Christina Bobb are believed to have played a larger role in Trump's mishandling of classified materials. Evan Corcoran drafted a statement signed by Christina Bobb in June that declared that Trump's team had fully complied with a subpoena seeking classified documents being housed at Mar-a-Lago. The FBI recovered hundreds of pages of classified materials after its search 2 months later. Federal prosecutors have asked the judge to force Evan Corcoran to provide additional testimony. Prosecutors allege that Corcoran was used by Donald Trump in furtherance of a crime or a fraud, which would overcome the shield of attorney-client privilege, according to a CNN report. Special counsel Jack Smith, appointed by Attorney General Merrick Garland in November, is leading two federal investigations into the former President Donald Trump. The Seattle Times has also covered this story and tells us more. Federal prosecutors overseeing the investigation into former President Donald Trump's handling of classified documents are seeking to pierce assertions of attorney-client privilege and compel one of his lawyers to answer more questions before a grand jury, according to two people familiar with the matter, adding an aggressive new dimension into the inquiry and underscoring the legal peril faced by Donald Trump. The prosecutors have sought approval from a federal judge to invoke what is known as the crime fraud exception, which allows them to work around attorney-client privilege when they have reason to believe that the legal advice or legal services have been used in furthering a crime. The fact that prosecutors invoked the exception in a sealed motion to compel the testimony of the lawyer, Evan Corcoran, suggests that they believe Donald Trump or his allies might have used Corcoran's services in that way. Among the questions that the Justice Department has been examining since last year is whether Donald Trump or his associates obtained justice in failing to comply with demands to return a trove of government material he took with him from the White House upon leaving office, including hundreds of documents with classified markings. In May, the Justice Department issued a subpoena for any classified documents still in Donald Trump's possession, after he had voluntarily turned over an initial batch of material to the National Archives that turned out to include almost 200 classified documents. In June, Evan Corcoran met with the investigators and handed over more than 30 documents in response to the subpoena. Another lawyer for Donald Trump, Christina Bobb, then signed a statement asserting that a diligent search had been conducted at Mar-a-Lago, Trump's residence and private club in Palm Beach, Florida, and that there were no additional documents bearing classification markings. Christina Bob has told investigators and others that Evan Corcoran drafted the statement and that she added some caveats to it, seeking to make it sound less ironclad. But when the FBI searched Mar-a-Lago in August of last year, FBI agents found more than 100 additional classified documents. The affidavit submitted by the Justice Department to obtain the search warrant said that there was probable cause to believe that evidence of obstruction of justice would be found in the search. Evan Corcoran recently appeared before a grand jury in U.S. District Court in Washington and is believed to have asserted attorney-client privilege on behalf of Donald Trump in refusing to answer certain questions related to his representation in the documents investigation, according to three people familiar with the matter. It remains unclear what questions Evan Corcoran sought to avoid answering by asserting attorney-client privilege or what crime the Justice Department cited in invoking the crime fraud exception in its motion to Judge Beryl Howell. The chief judge in the Washington Federal Courthouse, who oversees all grand jury matters. But after his appearance in front of the grand jury, Evan Corcoran received notice that the Justice Department was seeking to use the exception to break through his assertions of privilege, the people familiar with the matter said. Howell, who has consistently decided in the government's favor on privilege issues surrounding Donald Trump, will ultimately rule on the department's request about Evan Corcoran. She will be stepping down from the position of chief judge next month. The push for Evan Corcoran's testimony is another sign of the aggressive effort being made by Jack Smith, the special counsel overseeing the investigations into Donald Trump, to secure testimony. Jack Smith is guiding both the investigation into Trump's handling of the classified documents and the inquiry into Trump's efforts to remain in office after his election defeat in 2020, and how they led to the 6th of January 2021 assault on the Capitol. The British newspaper The Guardian has also covered this story and tells us more. Three lawyers for Donald Trump recently appeared before a federal grand jury as part of the special counsel investigation into his possible retention of national security materials at his Mar-a-Lago resort, according to two sources familiar with the matter. The lawyers, Evan Corcoran, Christina Bob, and most recently Alina Haber, were involved in efforts to compile documents that had been subpoenaed. They remain among a small number of people to have searched Mar-a-Lago. Alina Haber appeared before the grand jury in the documents case in recent weeks, the sources said. A notable development, given she is not a member of the legal team defending Donald Trump in that criminal matter and has represented the former president in civil lawsuits. The details of Alina Haber's testimony are unclear, though she was asked about her search last year of Donald Trump's office at Mar-a-Lago, from where the FBI recovered documents marked top secret just weeks later, after Donald Trump was subpoenaed by the New York State Attorney General Letitia James in a separate case. In Letitia James's civil case against the Trump family and their business for alleged financial fraud, Alina Haber has been the lead lawyer and told the court she had searched Mar-a-Lago and other properties for documents. The move by the special counsel to summon Alina Haber before the grand jury makes her the third known member of the Trump legal team to do so, after Evan Corcoran and Christina Bob also made appearances in early January and potentially the only lawyer who had gone through Donald Trump's office at Mar-a-Lago. Evan Corcoran was the lead Trump lawyer who handled his responses to the U.S. Justice Department when federal prosecutors started investigating the unauthorized retention of classified documents. He searched the resort when Donald Trump was subpoenaed for any such materials in June of last year. Congratulations to everyone on the occasion of 27th of Rajab, the Feast of Mab'ath, which marks the formal appointment of Prophet Muhammad by God for guidance of mankind. The English Radio congratulate all Muslims on this auspicious occasion.
Muhammad, the seal of all prophets. Man was created on the morning of the sixth day. The time of worship commenced, and Adam began the rituals for his Lord. He, and after him, his progeny, performed such rituals. Religions appeared one after another. All of them represented one God, one path, one origin, and one end to mankind. Every messenger who was appointed by God to convey his message informed the people of the advent of the last prophet of God. In this sense, Buddha and Krishna said the very same thing which Noah, Abraham, Moses, John, Zoroaster, and Jesus said. One told the name of the final prophet, and the other spoke of his origin. One forecast the signs of his homeland, while the other described the characteristics of his language. In one way or another, each prophet informed mankind of the joyous news of the advent of the final prophet, the last messenger of the heavens. In the very beginning of history, God sent Adam, his first prophet on earth, to propagate and show the heavenly path to the inhabitants of this world. Thousands of years have passed ever since, and some people continue to follow him by residing exclusively near the riverbanks of the world. Zoroastrianism is one of the most ancient religions of the world. These days, most of its followers are found in Iran, India, and some regions of Central Asia. They possess a heritage several thousand years old. Like the prophets before him, Zoroaster also informed his followers of the coming of divine prophets. The religious scripts of Zoroastrianism refer to these messengers as Sotients. There are three Sotients who were foretold to appear after the Zoroaster. Alternatively, three sociants, three beneficent personalities, will come one after the other. Throughout history, the followers of Zoroaster have been waiting for their arrival. They have searched for them everywhere.
Attilo! What brings you here?
They are visitors from the east. They follow the star. The star of the prophecy.
The prophecy of the Messiah? The Messiah.
So far, only three Zoroastrian sages have succeeded in seeing the first sociant in Bethlehem. When the last prophet of God appeared in Hejaz, there were many Zoroastrians who saw the signs of the second sociant in him. They joined him in large numbers and became his followers and helpers. However, there are still many Zoroastrians who are keenly waiting for the arrival of the third sociant. They hope that this universal reformer will appear and make the world a utopia. In India, the land of many creeds, there are several mysterious religions spread out in the vast jungles and mountainous regions. You find religions such as Hinduism, Jainism, Buddhism, and Sikhism. Though in some case, the followers of these religions have become deviated from the right path. The depth of meaning and spirituality that these religions reveal is indicative of man's inherent tendency to establish a close relationship with an infallible creator and worship him. Historical roots of Hinduism are spread over thousands of years. Mysterious ascetics with wonderful conducts live all over India, in colorful shrines and dark temples in legendary jungles. They make the unspeakable things of this mysterious land even more mysterious.
God is one only. Even in India, in the Hindu philosophy, God is always one. But his manifestation is many.
This historical religion has several holy books as guidelines for its followers. These books are full of strange and unsaid mysteries. Among the sacred books of Hindus are the Puranas. These ancient books contain the history of the universe, the genealogy of kings and heroes, and the foretelling of future events. In these books, we again witness indications of the coming of a spiritual teacher called Muhammad from a foreign land. To him is what Raja Bhuj respectfully says. I prostrate myself before you, O you, the pride of mankind, the inhabitant of Arabia. You have gathered a great power to eradicate Satan.
In one of the Puranas in India, Bhavishya Purana, it is also mentioned that Mahamud, Paigambar Muhammad, will be born in the Middle East, and he would cleanse the people of corruption and bad habits there, and you know, he will bring a new wave of devotion. This is mentioned thousands of years ago in the Hindu text, in a Purana. It's one verse is there, one quote is there, that such and such a person, a prediction was done about that.
He will appear in a sandy desert in the land of Arabia. He will be known as the pride of humanity, and his name is Muhammad. What could be the secret that has been also mentioned in the holy books of Hindus, and of which the Hindu monks have spoken? The history of Jainism goes back about 600 years before the appearance of Christ. According to Jainism, salvation can only be achieved through the practice of asceticism. The tenets of this faith dictate that God has 24 avatars on earth. The last one of them will be born in a peninsula, and the name of his father is Vishnu Bhagat, which is the equivalent of Abdullah. And the name of his mother is Somanib, which is the equivalent of Amina. He is said to be taught by Bhagwan in a cave. Sikhs, who wear a unique turban on their head, are followers of another religion in India. But are there any hints about the Holy Prophet of Islam and his religion in the scriptures of Sikhs? In addition to the promise made thousands of years ago by Eastern religions concerning the advent of a prophet called Muhammad in Arabia, Abrahamic religions also foretell the arrival of a great prophet on earth in the last age of humanity. Moses and Jesus endured many difficulties on the path of propagating their messages. They promised the people about the advent of a man from among the descendants of Abraham. The New Testament clearly promises the arrival of a prophet after Christ. An example of this can be seen in the Gospel of John. Shortly before the advent of Christ, Roman oppression was continuously increasing. More and more innocent people were crucified every day, and the poor were made even poorer through forced taxes. In such conditions, a man called John, from the shores of the Jordanian River, claimed prophecy. He kindled both doubt and hope in the hearts of the Jews of his time. Perhaps they wondered whether he was Messiah, the prophet foretold to end pain and tragedy. On the same day, Jewish leaders sent a group of Levites to John to investigate the matter.
Who are you?
John confessed. He did not deny. He answered,
I am not the Messiah.
Who are you then?
Are you Elijah?
No, I'm not.
Are you the prophet?
No.
Then tell us who you are.
We have to take an answer back to those
when
who sent
Prophet
us.
John replied that he was not Messiah, Elijah, or the promised prophet, the delegates, who were considering the new prophet to be one of these three, asked him in wonder.
If you're not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet, why do you baptize?
I baptize with water. But among you stands the one you do not know. He is coming after me, but I'm not good enough even to untie his sandals.
John's Gospel contains a marvelous secret within it. This secret, which reveals itself exclusively to those possessing wisdom and intellect, promises the advent of another prophet after Jesus. It speaks of a messenger for whom everyone is waiting. When Christ embarked upon his three-year-long mission, a great disagreement occurred among people.
And whoever believes in me should drink. As the scripture says, streams of life-giving water will pour out from his side.
This man is really the prophet. The Messiah will not come from Galilee.
Many people said that he was the Messiah promised by the Bible. However, others did not agree to this and said that perhaps he was the foretold prophet. What we can understand from John's Gospel is that apart from Elijah, two other people must also come to mankind. One is the Messiah, and the other is, for the lack of a better title, the prophet. But where is the prophet, who according to John's Gospel must come, and has yet to come?
All the Christianity believe in the genuineness of Prophet Muhammad. I mean, believe that he was a prophet or not.
I do not know for all of Christianity. I have no doubt. I have no doubt myself. He is a prophet, and spoke the word of God with great love and kindness and beauty.
Yes,
the prophet is a symbol. The prophet is a human being. Human being, not God. He's a human being that he had great faith, a maximum of the faith, and he was in contact with God when he was alive. Mm-hmm. And he passed the messages of God to the people.
Will Durant writes, according to the documents discovered on the shores of the Dead Sea, people were awaiting the foretold prophet, whose appearance, along with that of the Messiah, was promised. But who is this prophet, and from where does he originate? In order to answer this question, we will have to go back and investigate his characteristics, as found in the Old Testament. According to the Old Testament, Moses saved the children of Israel from the Egyptians' bondage and made them cross the sea. He guided them during the course of 40 years of wandering in the Sinai Desert until they reached the banks of the Jordanian River. Nevertheless, the Israelites continued their lives as nomads. For this reason, Moses gathered them all and said, God told me, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all, that I shall command him, and it shall come to pass, that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. The Bible only recognizes the children of Ishmael as the brethren of the Israelites. Hence, the foretold prophet must have been raised among the brethren of the Israelites. He must have been given a book like that of Moses, and he must have come with a religious law like that of Moses. The question stands, to which prophet can all these qualities be attributed? Priest James Dow writes in the Collins Dictionary of the Bible, The only personality for whom the forecast of Torah can fit is Muhammad, because he is the only person who resembles Moses and has a book and a religious law. The prophets came one after the other and guided humanity towards the truth. Every prophet promised his followers about the advent of the last messenger of God. Muhammad, about whom the Puranas had promised, the second sociant of the Zoroastrians, a prophet from Arabia, the last avatar riding on a horse, the prophet resembling Moses, and the descendant of the brethren of the Israelites, and the prophet mentioned in John's Gospel. Who is he? In which land was he raised? In which era did he render as true the promise of all the prophets before him? After centuries of denial and defiance by the unbelievers, Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, titled as Ahmad, the seal of all prophets, from the house of Ishmael, appeared in the land of the Arabs to guide mankind, so that man may not remain in the darkness of ignorance. And now, on the threshold of another millennium, man continues the path of his predecessors in the persecution of the propagators of the message of God, those who decapitated Prophet John, put the cross on the shoulders of Christ, and mounted the Crusades, are once again continuing with their blasphemous persecution of the last prophet of God. They fed their ancient grudge. They despised the sacred. And driven to despair, they set fire to the truth and tried desperately to injure the prophet.
There is no God but God, and Muhammad
is the messenger of God. There is no God but God.
We are declaring ourselves. God has told his messenger to declare Islam to all men.
Open the windows. Let the world hear.
In the limelight.
In the U.S., Republican Congressman Adam Kinzinger says the former President Donald Trump should be charged with conspiracy over the Capitol insurrection. We'll take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The British newspaper The Guardian has covered this story and tells us more. The Republican Congressman Adam Kinzinger said in an interview on Sunday that he believes the Department of Justice will do the right thing and bring criminal charges against Donald Trump for his role in the attack on the U.S. Capitol on 6th of January 2021. I think he will be charged, and I frankly think he should be charged, Adam Kinzinger told CNN's State of the Union political talk show on Sunday morning, 1st of January. Representative Adam Kinzinger, a Republican from Illinois, thinks the Department of Justice will charge Donald Trump. I think the Justice Department will do the right thing. I think he will be charged. I frankly think he should be. Last month, the House Select Committee investigating the attack on which Kinzinger sits voted to refer the former president to the Justice Department on charges of obstruction of an official proceeding of Congress, conspiracy to defraud the United States, conspiracy to make a false statement, and incite, assist, or aid or comfort an insurrection. The recommendations relate to the former U.S. president's role in encouraging the insurrection at the U.S. Capitol in Washington, D.C., as thousands of his extremist supporters sought to prevent the certification by Congress of Joe Biden's victory in the 2020 presidential election. If he is not guilty of a crime, then I frankly fear for the future of this country, because now every future president can say, hey, here's the bar. And the bar is, do everything you can to stay in power, Kinzinger said. Adam Kinzinger was one of two Republicans on the Democratic-led January 6 Select Committee, which wrapped up its investigation before the new Congress begins on Tuesday, 3rd of January, when Republicans will assume the majority in the House following last November's midterm elections. Kinzinger led one of the committee.